Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video is Russ Mould, Investment Director at Stockbroker AJ Bell. You all right, Russ?
I am very well, Justin. How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, it's funny just getting back into it, didn't you?
Yeah, that's me. I think we both had a week off, didn't we?
So. Yes. Nice week?
Very good. Yeah, went to Milan to see Bruce Springsteen and he cancelled. So that was all good.
Does he know you were coming along?
He just didn't cancel. He cancelled two shows in Milan, one in Prague and one in Marseille. So he got a cold and lost his voice. So
that's annoying.
So all right, we had a good time in Milan. Well, we had a good time in Milan anyway. Went to the Ferrari Museum in Maranello, and it was all good. So I put an order in for you, by the way, for the Ferrari.
Yeah. Couple for yourself, couple for me. Yeah, exactly. How far is that from Milan?
Milan to Modena is about 160 kilometers, and then it's another 30 kilometers to Maranello. So it's a bit of a faddle to get to, if the truth be told.
Okay. Did you hire a car?
No, we actually got the train.
Oh, okay.
So we took the Freccia Rossa, the Red Arrow, which gets up to 250 kilometres an hour when it's not crawling through the Milanese suburbs. So it should have been in a 75-minute train journey. It was about an hour and a half by the time it had finished fiddling about, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Because in Italy, I think a lot of them in Milan think they are like Ferrari drivers, even though if they haven't got the Ferrari itself.
There was a bit of that as well. But it was all good, thank you.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm hearing signs, positive signs, but in fact, the UK market's not dead. Things are happening. And we've got a couple of sort of IPOs, happening.
Yeah, I mean, there have been six IPOs in the UK this year so far, which isn't very many given that it's now June. But the average gain has been about 40%, albeit heavily skewed, I should add, to a company called Microsalt. Air Astana is the one that's probably done least well of all of them. So just the six deals, but at least they haven't been absolute rubbish. A couple of VCTs in there. I guess what's getting people excited now is that you've got potentially Shein, the Chinese fast fashion retailer, and Raspberry Pi, the British mini or micro computer company, both of which look to be growing extremely quickly. So that will be an interesting test, given all of the, you say, the gnashing of teeth and wailing that there's been about the UK doesn't have these fast-growing companies. So it'll be an interesting test of appetite there. I mean, Shein is potentially going to be really quite big. Its last private transaction valued the thing at £50 billion, which would make it one of the probably two or three biggest IPOs in the UK of all time by overall market cap.
Yeah.
And I think they're talking about raising about £1 billion, which isn't going to be the biggest. I mean, Glencore raised a lot more than that. That raised about £6 billion back in 2011. And Friends Provident and Standard Life and THG were all £2 billion plus. But nevertheless, it'll be an interesting, it's a decent sized deal. I'm sure the London Stock Exchange is pleased to get, I mean, the fees to the LSE don't really matter that much. That's a small part of the business. It's more of a data company. But to get a high profile deal will be seen as positive. I guess that an international deal will be seen as a positive. I guess the caveat to that is you may remember there were an awful lot of Chinese companies floated on AIM between 2005 and 2010-12 and didn't generally end that well, if the truth be told. So I think that's possibly the one caveat. And I guess if Sheen passes the London regulatory process, in terms of governance, in terms of supply chain management and related issues, then you would say fair play to them. But I think there will be some, you know, fairly substantial scrutiny of Sheen as and when it files that long-awaited prospectus, which I'm told is going to be happening fairly shortly.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of criticism, isn't there, saying this is not the kind of company we want because, you know, like I said, it's perhaps fast fashion, which is seen as environmentally not sound.
I think it's a big challenge. And, you know, it's interesting, after Primark, which is owned by FTSE 100 company Associated British Foods, there was a factory collapse in Bangladesh back in 2014, and the share price has taken most of a decade to recover. We've seen what was happened to Boohoo's share price, as questions have been asked about its sourcing. It's been an absolute catastrophe.
Boohoo and Asos. I mean, that's ABF. If you look at Boohoo, look at this. I mean, it's
just,
you know, one of the best
traffic
performing stocks out there, Asos, but they've fallen. That's a heck of a roller coaster they've done there.
I think some of that is down to, I mean, ASOS probably overexpanded and went too much down the revenue at any price route and took up quite a lot of debt when it bought Topshop and Topman. Boohoo questions over its sourcing. Quiz has been kind of largely swept aside as well. I think that share price has got a pretty similar trajectory to those ones that you're showing now. And I guess you've got Shein and Temu coming up. Now, looking at the competitive dynamic, I would think that ASOS, in terms of price point, is probably closer to Next. And so isn't necessarily in Shein's complete firing line, whereas Boohoo and Primark would be, along with Temu. So I guess it's interesting to see what Shein's going to do with £1 billion. Does that go to the owners? Does that go into the company for investment, brand, technology? I guess all of those questions will be answered in the prospectus, but we know it's a competitive market. Equally, there is a generation out there who are kind of pushing back on what they would view as overconsumption. They're going for more curated collections. They're going through Vinted and Depop and some of these retro sites. So it's not all one-way traffic in terms of fashion, but there's no doubt about it. Fast fashion appeals to a lot of pockets, it appeals to a lot of tastes, and it is currently a very powerful model. So now you've got to look at Shein and say, well, if that £50 billion valuation holds good, or $66 billion, last stated net profit was, I think, $2 billion. That's 30 times forward earnings. It's pretty beefy for a retailer. I guess you've obviously got to be pretty convinced about the long-term growth prospects. You've clearly got to be convinced over the governance and management working for the shareholders or whoever. And you've got to make sure that in terms of the supply chains and governance, that there isn't anything in there that could cause some potential challenges, because that 30 times rating would potentially contract pretty quickly if it's perceived to be potentially problematic for the company. So I think the transparency will be a very, very powerful thing. And if they can pass all of those tests, that would be great. We'll have to see what's in the prospectus and then what comes out of the roadshow and some of the documentation.
Yeah, these sort of vintage or secondhand or pre-loved or whatever. Is it Vinted? And the other, what's the other one you mentioned?
Depop.
Where are they? The US brands or the UK brands?
I think so. I don't know. My daughter is quite an aficionado with them. She doesn't do any of the fast fashion at all, interestingly. So I would assume so. But equally, at the other end, you've seen some of the sort of luxury goods businesses like Net-a-Porter and some and Matches.com, some of those sort of rental models for ultra high-end luxury goods, well, they've just completely failed, you know. So again, at the other end of the spectrum, they've been finding life pretty tough as well. So retail is ultimately a simple business: right product, right price, right route to market. But it's an awful lot harder to pull off than you think. And Next has obviously been a shining example of how to get it right. Although their share price is probably, you know, not knocking all-time highs, but even there, they have been adding a lot of brands, a lot of third-party brands, so that it hasn't all been purely organic growth. There you go, the share price, you know, the market's responded to what Lord Wolfson's done there over the last, you know, 20-odd years, effectively, so.
Yeah. I assume they have. Are they all doing with these similar kind of things, of, you know, or maybe even trying to acquire something like Vinted, or, you know, something like Boohoo or Asos trying to acquire them? You'd think they'd go in that route, wouldn't you? You know,
There have been rumours that people have been sniffing around ASOS, and you know, I think Mike Ashley, as we know, at Fraser's Group, is not frightened of picking up an asset that has fallen on hard times. So it's always something. It's not something that you can rule out. And Next has made acquisitions, and Fraser's has made acquisitions, and they have picked them up at generally pretty low prices as they've faltered. So again, that is a possible angle for them. You know, markets always, you know, are quite happy with acquisitive growth so long as it supplements existing momentum and isn't a big transformational deal that tries to create momentum where it isn't there. And I think that's one thing that Next has done right, and actually Frasers so far has been doing pretty effectively as well, intriguingly.
You know, Frasers Group have been, I think that he's buying both Boohoo's at 8th of May, 23.1% of Boohoo. And I'm sure he's got around about that in ASOS. So,
and he's just been topping up his stake in Hugo Boss and one or two other bits and pieces as well. So,
what's he playing at then?
I guess, you know, a man who likes a bargain, I guess, is the
27%
argument.
27% in ASOS.
There you go.
Yeah, wow.
But, you know, he doesn't have control with those stakes, but, you know, he clearly potentially has boardroom influence. And he clearly feels perhaps there's a bargain to be had there, which in the end, again, is what, you know, a lot of shoppers like to see.
Yeah, and in fact,
I mean, whether Sheen's a bargain at 30 times historic earnings, I guess, again, you're clearly going to be factoring quite a lot of forward earnings growth there. So
yeah, I know a lot of people are playing sort of Boo and ASOS hoping for recovery, but the actual play was Frasers Group. I mean, look at the share price of that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, done really
And again, if you think about it, you know, if we are going to get interest rate cuts this year, and I think that's now been sort of slightly shoveled back to September from the Bank of England with maybe one more by Christmas. If you are looking at interest rate cuts, then consumer discretionary would be one of the most sensitive areas to that, you would think. And if you look at retail stocks, you think, God, it's been absolutely awful in the UK economically for the last 12 or 18 months. Mm-hmm. But retail stocks have actually been pretty good because we've had the energy price gap come down, and it's going down again by another 7% in July. And we've got this prospect of interest rate cuts, and inflation has cooled. Although, you know, I think the one thing you need to bear in mind there is that since Boris Johnson won the 2019 general election, the UK consumer price index is up by about a third. So if you're wondering why things still feel expensive, even though inflation is now officially cooling at 2 and a bit %, that's why. The cumulative effect of that inflation. Prices are not going down. So that purchasing power has been lost. And I think that is still a potential challenge for some retailers out there if you don't get the formula absolutely spot on.
Yeah, this is the 2-year government bond there, UK.
I mean, that's normly 6 months, 6 to 9 months ahead of the Bank of England, right? And it's kind of, you know,
1.375. It's struggling to get above that 200 day, which is good. It's broke down through that 200 day moving average, and it's 1 day where it's banging down below, but that's quite good. I tell you, it's quite positive though. I heard, I don't know where it was, I heard an interview with them, Raspberry Pi. Chairman owner, and he said he was, you know, he was wine and dined by the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ, I don't know which one it was, also the LSE, and he said he preferred LSE. He said their offering was nicer and better, and they were more in touch with them. It was more.
Well, that's good to hear, and you know, if you get a couple of successful deals, then that might encourage more. And I guess that we've always then got to be careful what we wish for. I mean, one of the, you know, the UK stock market had reached an all-time high in early May. And one of the reasons why there was the substantial amounts of cash that were being returned to shareholders through dividends at about £80 billion this year, buybacks already at £35 billion, and takeovers at around £35 billion with a few special dividends on top. So you're talking £140-150 billion. You know, that's a cash yield on the UK market of, what, 6-7% or something. You've now just had National Grid announce a £7 billion rights issue. And if the number of IPOs picks up, then that's actually cash starting to go the other way. Now, it doesn't mean that it's game over, but you've got to be a little bit careful that a healthy number of deals doesn't become an absolute deluge, because that's when, you know, bull markets end when the money runs out, right? So if you've suddenly got more rights issues and IPOs than you've got dividends and buybacks and special dividends and takeovers, then that's when trouble tends to begin, but nevertheless, or at least potentially. But we're nowhere near that yet, but it's something that's always worth bearing in mind.
Well, there's the FTSE 250 in bull market territory, way above it. But AIM, AIM got into bull market territory. It was 803, but it's just dipped back. I mean, it's a strong rally, so you can forgive it for coming back a bit.
Yeah, that's a huge rally there. So.
Yeah, so but 803 is bull market, pretty much 20% up from the low, and it's now at 800. So it's going to go sideways for a while, I think, after that. Look at that. Look at all the greens there. It's literally three, four days, down days in about 20-odd. So,
wowza.
It's going to have a bit of a pullback and a consolidation.
Well, I guess the UK is probably going to paddle around now until the general election result, isn't it? I would think on the 4th, 5th of July. I would have thought, personally, particularly with... You can't see the Bank of England doing anything ahead of the election and rocking the boat. So then you're looking at August, well, you know, probably September. So I guess we'll just have to. And also, I think the Bank of England did give a I think Andrew Billy gave a speech when we were away last week talking about further quantitative tightening and what will happen and continuing shrinking of the Bank of England's balance sheet. So they are trying to throttle back on some of the stimulus that's been applied over the last 15 years, which for the long-term health and for inflation is a good thing, but it might mean a little bit less cheap play money in the short term for financial markets.
Yeah, okay, marvellous stuff. Russ, thanks for that, and we'll speak next week.
I look forward to it.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.